Okay, so let's explore the unit testing capabilities of Visual Studio Team System. What I'm going to have here is a Visual Studio solution called Job Board. It's actually a website. Sitting here, you'll see the ASPX pages, you'll see webconfig, welcome.htm. It's a website that allows you to post jobs, review jobs, post your resume, that type of thing. But it's also got this class library project, Job Board Logic, sitting behind it where a lot of the business objects are and the data access logic is as well. So you'll see BOL and DAL here. I'm going to open up BOL and go to Company CS, and this is where all of my companies that post jobs, this is where all of their code is contained. I'm going to go down to the method here for get company count, and what you'll see is I have a get company count method that gives me the number of companies set up in the companies table. You'll have a get company name, so you pass in a company ID, it returns a company name, and I want to create some test cases for these. So the scenario that I have is I don't have any existing unit tests. I've got this existing code library, however, and I want to create some test cases for the code that's already in existence. So I'm going to right-click here in the code editor and actually go to the Create Unit Test option. And what that's going to do is allow me to code generate unit tests. And I can do it for several methods at one time. So I'm going to select get company name, get company count, and even get company. I could actually choose additional methods. I could choose my properties and write test cases for those as well. You'll notice down here at the bottom there's this concept of an output project. All test cases, unit tests included, within Team System must exist within a test project. Test project is nothing more than another Visual Studio project type, similar to a class library project or a Windows application project, etc. I click OK and it's going to ask me for the name of the test project, and I like to call mine Job Board BOL Unit Test, so the name of the class, you know, kind of the class set that I'm testing for. Or I could alternately call it Job Board Logic Unit Test, depending on what mechanism I'm using. In fact, that would probably be a little bit better one there. So I'll do Job Board Logic Unit Tests. Hit Create. It's going to go ahead and create that project for me. We'll see that Job Board Logic Unit Test project sitting over here. You'll also see that it created companytest.cs. That's the file that it opened up here. If you're familiar with CS Unit or InUnit, notice that there's actually a test class attribute here attributing this public class company test. All right, so public class company test is my test class. If I scroll down through here, we'll actually see that I have a test method attribute labeling this get company test method. So this is the code that actually calls the get company routine passing in a username. So it knows that username is what's being expected because it looked at the get company method, which is a static method here. It captures the return value of get company, and it also sets up some variables here for an expected value. And it sets up a variable of type string for the username that's getting passed in. It puts in all the type of code that without even knowing what get company does, right? Because there, you and I kind of imply what get company does. We figure it gets a company. And notice it knows that it gets even the company object as a return value. That's what's getting returned. It does all that redundant code that you would have to type into over and over again without even putting any logic behind it. Your job is still to come in here and determine, did the get company call actually work? It is going to use an asserting mechanism to where you're going to be asserting, and this is a generated code here, that there are two equal values. The expected value, which in this case is coded to null, we would need to change that, and the actual value returned here, it's asserting that those values are equal. If those values are equal, I pass the test. If they're not equal, I fail the test. You'll also see, however, this assert inconclusive line. If for some chance this were to pass the R equal and go ahead and pass that check, it would hit this inconclusive, and the test would not actually be marked as a passed test. It would be marked as an inconclusive test. This is extremely handy for scenarios where you might actually get false positives. The generated test might, in fact, pass. If username is an invalid username in my system, it would actually return me a null value from get company. And even though I never coded anything in here, this test might actually pass because of my null value check there. So the assert inconclusive is kind of a reminder for me on that. I'm going to scroll down and let's look at get company count test, and we're going to go ahead and set this one up. This simply calls get company count, returns me the number of companies in the companies table in my database. I've actually got a database created that's not a shared database, it's a database running on my local machine, and it's called JobBoardDB. If I go out to my tables and find my companies table and right click on that and say show table data, we'll see that I have data. This data was generated using Team Edition for Database Professionals data generation tool. So this is data that I've got on my local sandbox. It makes it very easy for me to unit test because I can recreate this test data on the fly. And if I do things like an insert test with my unit test, I don't have to worry about cleaning the data up because I can simply recreate this data on the fly. But you'll notice that I have 50 rows of data here in my table, my machine. So I'm going to be looking for 50 rows coming back. I also need to set this up to where this unit test actually has the capability to go connect to the database. So to do that, let's go see how my web application connects to the database. If I go out here to my website and I open up my web config and scroll down, what we're going to see is I have a connection string settings in my web config file. I'm going to copy that code, close that down, and I'm going to go back to my test project. Let me minimize some of this. I'm going to go back to my test project, Job Board Logic Unit Test. I'm going to right click and say that I want to add a new item. And I'm going to add an application configuration file. So I can go ahead and create a config file for my test project, paste in my connection strings. I don't want to actually hit the same database that my website is hitting, because this is actually a shared database on my network. I want to hit Job Board DB. And then I'll use Job Board DB here as well. So I'm hitting that local database that I've created instead. I'm going to save that out. And now I'm pretty much ready to run my tests. Let's go ahead and go to my test view window. So I'm going to go to my test menu, go to Windows, and open up Test View. The way the Test View window works is it goes and looks at your Visual Studio solution, finds all the test projects, then finds all the tests within those test projects. This allows me to actually come in here and select my Get Company Count test, hit my little Run Selection button here. It will go out now and actually kick up a test results window. The way the test results window works is every time you run a test or set of tests, that is a test run. This is showing me the results for my test run. You can notice here that my test is inconclusive because I neglected to actually get rid of this line of code, which means I actually passed my test, but it's coming back as inconclusive. So let me delete the inconclusive call, save that out, reselect Get Company Count Test, run that again, and now we'll see that I go in progress and then I pass. I can also select multiple tests. If I want to hold down the Shift key or the Control key, I can select multiple tests from Test View, hit Run over here, and that will in fact allow me to run multiple tests. You'll see that one of the tests passed, one of the tests failed. So we have some nice capabilities there to actually manage that. If I want to double click this will tell me exactly why it failed. It's saying that Get Company Name did not return the expected value. I was expecting a null back, that was the generated code, but I actually got back HGCSV9W, which is some of the generated data that I have in my local database. So I wanted to clean that up, I would need to come down to Get Company Name Test, and I would need to notice that it's passing in a company ID of 0, and I would need to create a corresponding match for the expected value here that I'm bringing back. So it's actually returning me a string. The easiest way to do that is to come in here and actually copy that value. Come in here and change my expected value to actually be that value there. Save that out. And now what I've done is I've tightly coupled the data that I'm generating, generated data, which I can generate in a consistent fashion, by the way, and coupling that to my test case here. If I save that out, come back over here and rerun my tests, now we'll see that I'm getting the inconclusive because I've neglected to comment that out. And I'll go ahead and comment out the inconclusive, and now my test would in fact work. The last thing I want to show you just very quickly is if you want to get statistical information on code coverage, what code was executed during this test, you can go to the test menu, say edit test run configurations. Every time you run a set of tests, that's called a test run. You actually have configuration options you can set up, but I'm going to configure mine so that I get code coverage statistics on Job Board Logic DLL, apply that and close it. And I'm just going to rerun the test one more time. Now it's going to go ahead and run the tests. They're going to go ahead and both pass, but now I can right click and say code coverage results, and it will actually give me statistical information on what code was executed. If I drill down under Job Board Logic BOL, we can see that 99% of the code wasn't executed, but in company, 96% of the code wasn't executed, but you'll see that Get Company Count was 100% covered. If I double click this, it will actually take me to the file and show me in this light blue color everything in this file that was executed when I ran my tests, and everything here in red is code that was not executed when I ran my tests. So we're actually going to see a distinction there. So it allows me to actually give a very visual indication of what code was actually getting executed during my test run. So this concludes our quick overview of unit testing within Visual Studio Team System. If you'd like to get additional information on Visual Studio Team System, there's a couple of resources for you. Obviously, the product homepage on msdn.microsoft.com is a great place to start. When you go to the Visual Studio Team System homepage, you're going to have information about how to learn it, how to try it, how to buy it. One great thing to do is to actually go underneath the download sections over on the left. That's going to take you to a page. It's going to have information on what you can actually download. If you go down, there's actually going to be the option for trial software. And notice here under the popular downloads, there's actually a Visual Studio 2005 Team Suite Trial Edition. And there's also Team Foundation Server Trial Edition that you can download. That allows you to test all of the client functionality for 180 days before trying to determine, do you need a particular Team Edition? Do you want Team Suite? What do you actually need to support your development processes in your organization? So that's a very great resource for you. There's also another great resource, Team System Rocks. The Team System Rocks page here, let me actually navigate to the homepage, actually has a Team System news blog, which kind of keeps you up to date on the latest stuff going on with Team System. If you navigate to the tutorials, that's actually going to have tutorial videos that you can watch that have a lot of information about the different features. So notice the ones over here on the left are very short, you know, sometimes 1 or 2 minutes or less. The ones over here on the right are much longer videos. So you'll see 15-minute videos, 24-minute videos on specific topics. So this is a secondary resource you can use as well. So keep both of those in mind as you're trying to learn more about Team System.